We're continuing on in our series, Property Lines, talking about healthy and godly boundaries. How many of has this helped anybody? How many of you has this helped? If it's helped you, just wave at me real quick. I know that you're 1 week away, or, you know, last week we didn't talk about it, but I'm going to close this thing out this week and talking about healthy boundaries and property lines. And we're not going to wait any longer. Let's dive into the word together. Amen. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. I'm talking to you about property lines today. This is part six in our final session in this. It's got a subtitle today, and it's this: Stay in Your Lane. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell them, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Come on, God's got something for you over there in your lane. We got to stay in it, though. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 22, the Bible says this. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I was so excited about all the rest of the text. I didn't even get myself together to learn the name Agrippa. That's what it is. But I should have had that way together before I got there. But y'all know who he is. You know what I'm saying. And said to the men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Paul is in Athens, and he is saying that they are very religious. This is a very religious group of people, although they haven't yet met the one true living God. He says, so I perceive that you are very religious in all things, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. They had all of these gods, and then they even made an altar for an unknown God. They were so religious. They worshiped things they didn't even know. Come on. So y'all ever met those people? My goodness. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times. Shake your neighbor, wake them up, and tell them pre-appointed times. And the boundaries of their dwellings. Some translations there say habitations, which is a better one. So their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far off from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have even said, for we are his offspring. Father, I pray over the next couple of moments that you would help me to preach and teach this word today. Father, help me to unlock to the people what it is that you have placed in my heart today. Father, as we discuss property lines and boundaries, Lord God, I pray that you would help me to reveal to the people today how to stay in their lane. Reveal unto me how to stay in my lane, for in my lane is destiny and purpose and mission and calling. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Bless it as we get into today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, and the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So as we get started, I've already given you that subtitle today of stay in your own lane. Come on. How many of you have ever heard that before? Stay in your own lane. Come on. Wave at me if you've heard that before. Stay in your own lane. So that's most of us, all of us in the room. And that's a good play on words. You want to know what it really means? It means mind your business. Come on. Look over at your neighbor. Tell them, mind your business, I'm minding mine, you mind yours. Come on, somebody. Or it's another way of saying, too, stick with what you're good at, which is really what I want to harp on today. So it means mind your business, but stick to what you're good at, amen. And this comes from the understanding we have because of our driving lanes. When you pull out of this church today, there is going to be a yellow line and there is going to be a white line. Come on, somebody. Touch your neighbor and tell them, stay in the mayonnaise, in between the mayonnaise and the mustard. We one of them interactive churches for all you visitors today. We talk to each other around here, amen. So you've got to stay in your own lane. There are rules to the road when you drive on the road, and you better know them or you're going to end up in some trouble, amen. We've got to stay within our lanes or we end up in trouble. Come on, you can crash and burn if you don't stay in your own lane. It could be detrimental if you don't stay in your own lane. You can mess up your vehicle if you don't stay in your own lane. You can cause harm to yourself, and you can cause harm to others if you don't stay in your own lane. Lanes are boundaries that keep you on the road that help get you to your destination. So staying in your lane in the spirit realm does the same thing. It keeps you safely heading in the right direction to get you to your destiny. Amen. And so how many of you know that you've got somebody riding shotgun with you when you say yes to Jesus? Amen. There's somebody who's sitting right there with you trying to help get you to your destination. That's right. When you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is riding shotgun with you. And he's not just riding shotgun. He's actually working the GPS. Come on. Anybody who has been coming to church here long enough has heard me say that, right? That the Holy Spirit is your GPS. He helps get you to the destination or your destiny that God is trying to get you to. Amen. In order, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, he will lead you and he will guide you. In order to be a guide, you would have had to have toured the facility already in order to be an effective guide. Amen. So I don't know if you know this or not, but the Holy Spirit, he's an author. He authored the Bible. And I don't have a scripture for this, but I'm just going to step out and say it, that I believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who authored the books that are written in heaven about your life. If you didn't know that, there is books in heaven that are written about your life. It's filled with your destiny. It's filled with your purpose. It's filled with the people that's supposed to be around you. It's filled with all of the things that God has orchestrated and wants to orchestrate in your life so that you can fulfill your mission, your destiny, and your purpose. I'm getting amens from the babies, but none of y'all. Come on, somebody. But he's a God, right? So God needs us to set up property lines, a.k.a. boundaries, but he also needs you to stay in your lane, which is another boundary. So you staying in your lane and following the rules of the road and listening to your GPS, which is the Holy Ghost, gets you to your destination. Are y'all following me today? So the problem with what I just told you is that we've got too many Christians that are crashing and burning, and they're in a place of burnout because they don't understand boundaries. They don't understand the rules of the road. Y'all okay? I'm just setting the table here. I'll scream and yell here in a minute. But they don't understand their lane. They don't understand the rules of the road. So what they end up doing is crossing. They end up trying to pass somebody when there's a double line. Come on, somebody. They ease into other lanes, into oncoming traffic. Come on. They don't stay within the mayonnaise and the mustard, and now they hit a pothole on the side of the road, and now they're waving their hands in the sky and wondering where God is, but you got a flat tire. Why? Because you didn't stay within your lane. Because you didn't stay within the boundaries that God had ordained and set up for your life. Amen. So we're going to gain some knowledge today about how to stay in your own lane. Come on, look over at your neighbor and tell them, stay in your lane. Come on, look over at your other neighbor and say, it's for your own good. Come on, God's trying to get you somewhere. God's trying to get you to destiny and purpose. Amen. So when God started showing me this and I began to study about this, this was actually one of the first things that God downloaded in me about property lines, is that we've got way too many people that are getting out of their lane. They're getting out of the will of God for their life. And a lot of this stems from you're looking at what everybody else has going on and you're actually coveting, which actually there is a commandment that says that we should not do that. And what we do is we look at what everybody else has going on, we begin to covet it, we begin to want it, and then we get out of the lane that God has ordained and God has instructed for us to be in. And so this creates problems. But God really began to download this revelation to me from looking at the 12 sons of Jacob, which turned into the 12 tribes of Israel. Amen. And he divided the land and set up boundaries for them. Their names that was given to the 12 sons by their mothers, it carried an identity that was placed on them. It carried like this DNA that was ingrained on them. It gave them abilities and giftings, and it told them what they were good at and what they were not good at, aka it told them what lane they should stay in. God even set apart boundaries for them and told them what area they're supposed to stay in. Can I get that graphic pulled up on the screen? And I'm going to break down our initial text, and I know you might not be able to see this. It's probably a bad picture that I sent Miss Amanda. It's kind of small. But if you look at this map, you'll see where all the 12 tribes of Israel were instructed that they should live their life. It was the land that was allotted to them by Moses. And if you read Joshua chapters 13 through 21, it'll tell you the exact area of where every tribe was supposed to be. Amen. So Joshua 13 breaks down the territories. God had specific places for specific reasons of where they were supposed to be. So there were three times that blessings was given to the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Jacob. The first one was given by their mother, where she names them. She puts this label. She puts this identity on them. It's like it's ingrained in their DNA. Amen. The second was Jacob blessed them. Jacob blessed all 12 sons before his passing in Genesis. One of the last chapters of Genesis. Excuse me. The third is Moses, when he enters into the promised land and he's getting ready to distribute territory to each tribe. That's Deuteronomy 33. I'm going to give you these names and break down each one of them. So y'all try to catch up as I do this. I've got to run through this real quick. But I also want to say this as well. In Jewish culture, they believe that these are like 12 different personalities. These are 12 different type of characteristics that God gives out to his people. And you'll understand what I'm saying here in a second when I get to reading their names and what they mean and what they're involved in. So it's fair to say that you and I will fall into one of these type of categories or engage in these type of characteristics or behaviors. But keep in mind that some of these are good and some of these are not. Some of these you want to engage in, but some of these you don't. Amen. So here we go. Let me give you the tribe's names and some of their traits. So Reuben was the firstborn. Y'all with me this morning? Reuben was the firstborn. It represents the powerful energy of everything that comes first, the first fruits. Amen. The first moments of the day. The beginning of creation story has an enormous amount of energy. Unstable like water is one of the names, meanings for Reuben. That this is powerful because water can go either way. If harnessed properly, it can change the world. If it's abused or destroyed like water, it can be a source of life or it can be a source of destruction. You get what I'm saying? What happens when tsunamis come and it breaks the boundary that God established for it? It creates and wreaks havoc. Flood can create and wreak havoc. But if you don't drink water every day, you will die. So there's people that are like Reuben. Amen. It represents the energy of first. Simeon, he is aggressive. The antithesis of Reuben's chest water, the fierce anger and cruel wrath that can result from unbridled, must be eliminated lest it turns into weapons of violence and consume the person. The Bible says that name also means God who hears. Levi, this is the chosen tribe for the temple. Levi also means attached or joined, is the personality of dedicating one's life to a higher calling. Come on, here comes the preachers. Here we go. Here come the fivefold ministry leaders. These are the people of Levi. Judah means praise. Amen. Judah's name also includes the four letters of the divine name Hayah. Judah is a leader. Judah is known as a leader. The descendants of Judah would become kings. Amen. They would be the kings of Israel, beginning with King David. Amen. Judah means praise. Amen. Judah means praise. In the famous words of Apostle Jim Raley, he say, "The pit ain't it." Do you realize that it was praise, it was Judah that pulled Joseph up out of the pit. Come on. Some of you are going through some things and you just need to get some Judah on your lips. Come on. You need to get some Judah in your heart. God creates people who have an inclination to be worshipers, and people who are worshipers can pull themselves up out of anything, and people who are worshipers can set an atmosphere, and people who are worshipers can get breakthrough when everybody else doesn't get no breakthrough. Because when you praise and you put some Judah on your lips and in your heart, what happens is you bring God into the situation, because Judah brings God into the situation, because God inhabits, or he indwells within the praises of his people. So God has an inclination to make worshipers. See, these people who come up in the front every Sunday, those people have the characteristics and the trait of worshiper. Now, we should all be worshipers, but some people know how to and have been gifted to worship extravagantly. Amen. And people who worship extravagantly, amen, get some serious breakthroughs. But Dan, that's the next tribe. Dan is the path of law and order. Dan means God is my judge. The tribe of Dan was known for judging and having wisdom to handle situations. Naphtali was the next one, is a free-spirited personality, like a deer running free, breaking out of the status quo. Independence is a necessary component for growth, yet this free-spiritedness must always take care to deliver the words of beauty. This is the sixth son. Six is the number of man. The problem with a free spirit at times is that they want to do things their own way. So it's like it can be good, but it can also be negative. We've got to harness that thing. God wants you, and he creates people to be free spirits. But if you're a free spirit, you've got to be careful and still learn how to submit, still learn how to surrender. You don't just need to go running around and doing your own thing. Amen. The next one is Gad. Gad is a warrior. Come on, somebody has got to be a warrior. Somebody has got to be willing to fight. This is the one that I struggle with. Come on, somebody. You come at me crazy, I'll be ready to fight you. But then I remember that I'm a Christian. Amen. And I can't act that way anymore. But that is something that is ingrained. See, the people of God have got to get a warrior mentality as well as a calm spirit. Amen. Because you got to understand, you've got an enemy that wants to take you out. You have an enemy that wants to kill you. You have an enemy that wants to prematurely take you out. And sometimes you have got to engage with this characteristic. Sometimes you have got to put on the full armor of God. Might I suggest that you just keep it on and you be ready to go to war and you be ready to go to battle at all times, because there's a real devil on the loose. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy you. Some of us need to put on our Gad characteristics. Amen. So Asher, which is my son, is named after the tribe of Asher, right? It means both prosperity and pleasure. Asher is the dimension of the blessing beyond the norm, to be given to more than what is necessary for survival. You do understand that the tribe of Asher, they lived in a very prosperous part of the country. It was great for fertilization was great. The land was great. They had vineyards. They had olive trees. They had the finest of things. But it also means happy and blessed one. That's why we name my son Asher, is because it means happy and blessed one. His middle name is Cross. So every time you hear my son's name, Asher Cross, you hear happy, blessed Cross. You're hearing the gospel every time that we say Asher's name. Issachar, he is the scholar. Scholarship provides wisdom, clarity, and direction. It is the foundation of any system. Issachar has a dedication to immerse himself in study and education. Come on, where are all my teachers at? Come on, where are all my students of the Word of God? You have that Issachar characteristics. Now, Zebulon, he is the merchant. He is the business personality. His role is to enter into the marketplace and redeem the divine sparks with the material world and the secret treasures hidden in the sand, Deuteronomy 33:19. Zebulun complements Issachar, and they forge a partnership. Zebulun and Issachar are very close tribes that were right beside each other and went to war with one another and mixed and mingled with one another. So, come on, this is talking about the business people. Come on, how many of you have a business, you manage a business, you run a business, you're in the marketplace? Amen. So So this is the gifting that God has put on you. And then here we have Joseph. This is the element of the suffering in life, yet he not only goes through things, he survives, and not only survives, but he thrives. Come on, have y'all ever met those people that you can throw them in the bottom of a pit, but they find a way to make it out? Come on, have y'all ever met those people that find themselves in precarious situations, but 100% of the time God delivers them out? What that is you have found somebody who has that Joseph type of anointing. They have favor. They have lived a lifestyle that suggests that they can endure suffering, and folks who can endure suffering and still represent God in the middle of it, he always finds a way to rise them back to the top. Come on, Joseph. You can find yourself in a pit, but you'll wind up in the palace. You can find yourself back in the prison, but you find your way back up to the palace. Come on. Is there anybody in the room that says, I want to operate with a Joseph type of anointing that says I can suffer, that says I can go through things in life, but no matter what I go through and no matter what I'm walking through, my God is able to pull me and rise me from the bottom and take me right back to the top. I might fall off of the top, but God is able to rise me back up from the bottom to the top because of who he is. Come on, because I have character, because I have integrity, no matter where God puts me or where I fall into, I am always going to be able to rise through the suffering and get to the place that God has for me. Amen. So some of us need to get a hold of that favor and that suffering anointing. Amen. So when we engage in these positives of each of these, you understand what this does for the body of Christ. Come on, it has us come together. And when we come together and we all stay in our own lane, what happens is that we become an unstoppable force. What happens is that when everybody stays in their lane, when everybody does what God's called them to, when everybody does what God has gifted them to, we find that we're staying in our own lane. And when we stay in our own lane, we're not overrunning one another and we become an unstoppable force. Amen. Everyone staying in their own lane enables the body of Christ to become a well-oiled machine. You staying in your lane here at Legacy Church, if this is your home church and you're a part of this body, you staying in your lane and you doing the thing that God has gifted you to do will make the Legacy Church a well-oiled machine, and then we can go out into the city, come on, and we can make a difference. We can go out into the region and we can make a difference when everybody's pulling their weight and doing their own part. Come on, this just ain't about a pastor and his wife and some staff members. This is about you walking in destiny and walking in purpose and doing everything that God's called you to do and staying in your lane and being who God has called you to be. When we do that together, we become an unstoppable force. Come on, Reuben's got to stop trying to be Levi. God didn't call Reuben to preach and minister and do what Levi is called to do. Levi can't do what Reuben is called to do. Stop trying to be Dan when God's called you to be Judah. Come on. You trying to judge everybody else, but God is seeing all the things that you've got going on, and he's calling you to a place of worship, because if you can get to a place of worship, God can begin to overlook some of the junk and some of the things that you have going on in your life. Come on. I've told you before, God can't resist a worshiper. This is why David is known as a man after God's own heart, although he's mixed up in this and he's mixed up in that. When you are a worshiper and you know how to minister to God, it can actually make God overlook some things that you've got going on in your life because you have a heart for him. That's really good preaching. See, this is why some of us, we can't understand. You look at somebody else's life and you know some things that they've got going on, but you don't understand why God keeps blessing them. You don't understand why they hit a pit, but they pull themselves out. You don't understand why they keep going through craziness, but somehow they always pull through it. Come on, when you are a worshiper, you tug on the heartstrings of God. And when you worship God in spirit and in truth, and you worship him unashamedly, and you don't care who's around, and you have a worship in your heart and a praise on your lips, you can draw God into your situation and he can pour oil on your life, and then he will shift you, change you, and take you places that you never could have dreamed. Come on, can you make some noise for the worshipers this morning? So here we go. And here's where I'm going to lose my mind. And here's where he's going to get on that organ, my God. Watch this, verse 26 from the original text that we read. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings or the boundaries of their habitations. The next key I need to give you is the lane of time. Two things here got my attention while I was looking at this. So God here, he's talking about time and he's talking about dwelling places. Another or better translation of dwelling places, habitations. Some translations actually say that. So we're going to break this down one thing at a time. So sub key or sub point I want to give you this is time, chronos and kairos. So in order to understand really what the Holy Spirit is saying here, we've got to break down time. Time is a boundary that you and I are trapped in, my friend. Time and space is a boundary that you and I are trapped in. We are confined by time and by space. God is not confined by time and space. He created it. Amen. Are y'all still with me? We're going to science class. His realm is eternity where there is no time. That's literally the definition or essence of eternity is that it is absent of time. It is timeless. A day is like 1,000 years to God and 1,000 years is like a day. Even time on earth is different to God. When we talk about time, it's on a different scale than his. In the Greek, they had two words for time. That was chronos and that was kairos. Chronos means like seconds, hours, minutes, days, months, years, but kairos is simply seasons or seasonal. And can I help you today that this one little factor of understanding the difference in these two words is the key to stopping your frustration to God's timing. It is a key to stopping you being frustrated with God's timing on things all of the time. The problem is you are frustrated and confused with God because you're trying to understand him and his timing for things, but you're using the wrong scale. You're using the wrong barometer. God works off of a seasonal clock, not a chronometer. Like my watch. My watch is called a chronometer. That's what a watch is. It goes off seconds and hours and times, and it calculates days and hours and months, right? But this is why Jesus said, look at the times and the seasons. When these things begin to happen, you will understand that the time, the kairos, is near. He didn't say in 2024 the time will be near. He didn't say in 2050 the time would be near. No, he said when these things begin to happen, you have entered into the season of my return. That's Matthew 24. So God is teaching us that these things and these situations are dictated and determined by the seasons we are in. So this is going to mess up some of y'all's theology in here, but it messed up mine too, and I don't care. I just love the Bible because I want to go with what the Bible says, amen. I want to study the Word of God and see what it has to say about the situation. So this is going to mess up some of us, but it's going to help us. You understand? The free will of men actually helps determine the timeline of God. Watch this. The free will of men helps determine the timeline of God in the earth. Y'all look like you want some more scripture. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We've got this thing backwards. We think that we're waiting on heaven. But what you've got to understand about eternity is that everything is already finished. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus fixed it before it ever got broke. Come on, God had a plan before it ever got broke. Come on, and you and I were in the Lamb. Amen. So before you ever mess anything up, I came to encourage somebody today that God went ahead of you and he already fixed it and he already made a way for you to get out of it. All you've got to do is pull it into your kairos moment and your kairos season and let your will line up with his, and it will dictate and determine, and heaven will respond to where you're living. Here's a question that some of you might be asking. Does this diminish the power of eternity, heaven, or God? Absolutely not. It actually proves it. Why? Because everything is already finished there, and earth is just trying to catch up with what's already done. So it actually proves that the heavenly realm is more powerful than what we're experiencing here. But God's goal is on earth as it is in heaven. See, God is waiting on the sons of God to be made manifest. The earth is waiting on the sons of God to be made manifest. God is waiting on you to operate in your God-given authority and assignment and begin to walk in destiny and purpose and pull what's finished into in the heavens down here into the earth. Come on, God already said you're free. God already said you're healed. Come on, God already said your marriage is going to be put back together. Why? Because what God has brought together, let no man separate. Come on, the answer for everything that you need is already finished. When he hung on the cross, he said it's finished. Come on, everything that you're believing God for is finished. You've just got to engage with heaven, pray his will and not your will, live out his will and not your will, and then you begin to walk in the destiny and the purpose of God. We've got this thing backwards. We think that earth is waiting on up, but heaven is waiting on you to pull what's finished and bring it down already here. Now let me break this down some more. Subkey number two is this: stewards and guardians. Galatians 4 and verse 1. Now I say that as an heir, as long as he is an heir, he is a child. He does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of it all. Translation: you have it all. You have the inheritance. You own it all, but you differ no more than a slave because you haven't accepted the inheritance yet. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just read the scripture. So now I say that you are an heir, as long as you are a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of it all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time. Kairos, by the Father. So in this context, he's talking about you being an heir with Christ. An incredible thought. If you break this down, you are a co-heir with Christ. Translation: everything that was in his bank account got transferred into yours. Amen. Everything that was in him got transferred into you. Come on. He was a son, and now because of your faith and trust in him, he has made you a son or a daughter. But watch this. When you talk about heirs, you have to talk about maturity. See, when you talk about heirs, you have to talk about maturity. Maturity is the thing that qualifies you to gain the inheritance. The inheritance is set up to be released at an appointed time by the Father. You do realize this is how inheritance works, even in the earth, amen? You might be 16 years old and your parents pass and they've left you an inheritance or grandparents, but until you turn 18 and you become an adult, you cannot gain that inheritance. There is a set appointed time of maturity, amen? So if you're a part of the inheritance, you own it all, although you don't have it yet. So God is saying, I have prearranged and appointed blessings for you, but you can't get them until the appointed Kairos. But what draws in the Kairos of God or indicates that to God that you're ready for it is your maturity. Come on, I'm teaching real good. Now here's where the other kicker comes in. Maturity is determined by your habits. Let's look back at Acts 17. The Bible said he had pre-appointed time, pre-appointed Kairos, determined by the boundary of their dwelling place or habitation, a.k.a. habits. What's the root word of habitation? Habit. So if you have a habitation, you have the habit of going to that place. That's where you inhabit. Amen. I'm about to lose my mind. So watch this. So your habits determine your habitation, and your habitation determines your maturity, which determines what level of destiny that you are at. I don't know if you know that this is good news or not, but this is really good news, because what this means is that you are in charge, or you are in control of where you're at in God. Come on, there ain't no devil that can keep you away from it. Come on, there ain't no person that can keep you away from it. Come on, somebody, here I come. There ain't no assignment from the enemy that can keep you from it. Your maturity in God is all determined by you and the amount of work and what you habitate and what your habits are. Come on, can't no devil keep you out. Come on, can't no sinister enemy keep you out. People can't keep you out. Your job can't keep you out. Your family members that talk crazy to you and about you can't keep you out. Nothing can keep you out but you. Your habits are determined by you. Your habits are determined by you. But watch this though. Stop waving your hands in the air and asking God where he's at or questioning God's timing. He might be keeping you from something. Come on, he's protecting you. Some of the stuff that God has for you, you aren't ready for it yet. You aren't ready for what he's got for you because you'd ruin it because you're not at the place of maturity that God has for you. Come on, the problem wasn't that the prodigal son got his stuff. The problem was that the prodigal son got his stuff too early. Oh, how detrimental and devastating it is to see great men and women of God and they know that they have an assignment. They know they have a calling on their life, but they want to get ahead of God. They despise process. They despise going through the process that God has for them. They can't handle it. They want a microphone. They want a church. They want this. They want that. And what they do is they get ahead of the plans and the purposes of God. And what they wind up doing is squandering everything that God has really established and said is theirs, but you have gained it too early. I've watched it happen with so many people. You're not ready for that, but you want to step into it, and then you can't figure out and understand where God is. But you don't have the maturity level to sustain what God does say is yours. Now, don't get me wrong here. It's yours. God has. If you've got that calling and you've got that anointing and you know it already, that's great. But you better make sure that you're ready to be mature and walk in the thing that God has called you to. Or you're going to squander it. You've got to understand God is trying to protect you. You might need to have a little meeting with yourself and say that I need to grow up and mature in some areas so that I can be trusted with what I'm asking for. I've got some growing up to do. God is not against me. He is for me. Amen. And I can trust him and I can trust his timing. Maybe I need to get my habits in line. Amen. Maybe I need to get my habitation in line. Amen. I've been hanging out in some places that show God I'm not ready for what it is that I'm asking him for. My habits have had me in some habitations that God hasn't called me to. But come on, somebody, if I can shift my habits, come on, if I can shift my habits, I can shift my habitation. And if I can get back in line with the will of God, God can call me into right alignment with my destiny. Come on, if I can shift my habits, I can shift my habitation. You can get back into alignment and display maturity to God. And what you might do is you might just pull into this season what was saved for another season. Come on. You might just pull into this Kairos what was saved for another one. Come on, Mary, here I come. She's at the wedding of Canaan, and she tells Jesus, we have run out of wine. He says, woman, what does this have to do with me? It is not yet my time. It is not yet my Kairos. But she looks over at the servants at the wedding. I could just imagine. She just winks at them. Do whatever Jesus said. Do whatever Jesus said. But she pulls into her day what was set apart for another time, because Jesus only did what the Father told him to do and he only said what the Father told him to say. But he told her, it is not yet my time. But Mary displayed some hunger. Come on. Mary had showed God that she had some habits about being in the presence of God. She had displayed that she was hungry to see her son manifest his destiny, his mission, and his purpose. And what she did was that out of hunger, she pulled into her season what was actually set apart for a next. Come on, who am I preaching to in here? If you've got some hunger, if you've got the right habits, if you are ready to be in his presence and you are infatuated with being in his presence, you're infatuated with his word, you are consumed by those things, you might be able to pull into this season what was set apart for another season because you're displaying maturity to God. will shift the boundary of your habits to match up with God's plan for your life. He'll bless you. Come on. If you can get yourself into a Kairos moment and season that's full of destiny and purpose. But I got to say this. It'll be up to you. Come on, it'll be up to you. Can I just mess with you one more time? Y'all okay? Just messing with anybody this morning? Like it messed with me? Sub key number three I want to give you is this. You can redeem time. You can redeem time. Ephesians 5:16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, redeeming the kairos, because the days are evil. Circumspectly definition. I had to look that one up. Come on, somebody. It means in a careful and a prudent way, discreetly. It means to live wise and morally and cautiously. Did you catch that? Walking carefully and wisely and prudent and discreetly, living wise and moral enables you to redeem time. Redeem. You know what that means, don't you? In its context, it means to pull it back. When you walk this way, God will squeeze into this Kairos season what you missed in your last Kairos season. Come on, I'm coming. What your maturity level disqualified you for in your last season, God will bring into this season. Are y'all awake in here? This is why when you walk with God, you never miss a thing, and He is able to work out all things for His good and your glory, and He is able to redeem the time. This is why when you get saved at 30, you've missed God for 30 years. Come on, somebody. You've missed all His goodness. You've missed His blessings, His plans, and His purposes for your life. But God is so good. And He is so big, He created time that He can redeem it, and He can squeeze into the next 50 years that you serve Him until you die when you're at 80 or 90 or whatever. He can redeem the time. So if you walk circumspectly, come on, if you walk and live the right way, come on, if you get your plans, your will, and your agenda to line up with the will and the purposes and the plan of God, God can squeeze in the next 50 years what you missed in the first 30. He can squeeze in the next 10 years what you missed in the first 50. Y'all ain't hearing me today. I'm telling you that we serve a God who is able to redeem the times. I don't care how much time you wasted. My God is able to redeem it and squeeze it in. Stop crying about all the time that's lost. You need to get ready for an accelerated blessing. I had to run a lap because some of you need to get ready for an accelerated blessing. What you thought you missed out on, God's getting ready. What you thought you missed out on, God's getting ready to drop off. All you've got to do is walk circumspectly. All you've got to do is walk in His will, walk in His plans, walk in His purposes. Let your will line up with His will, and He gonna squeeze it into the rest of your life. You didn't miss nothing. You didn't lose nothing. God's going to give it to you in this next Kairos season. Now I can't breathe. Come on, some of y'all have got to stop whining about your past. You've got to stop being so devastated over your past. Come on, Bryson. God's getting ready to redeem that season of you running wild and being a prodigal and acting crazy. Come on, God's getting ready to squeeze in your next 30 and 40 and 50 years. You thought you lost something, son, but you didn't lose a thing. God is getting ready to take you to another level. God is getting ready to bless you in this next season. God is getting ready to squeeze in your next what you missed in your past. Hey! Check it. Next thing I got to give you, and I got to go. The lane of your book. The lane of your book. I come to remind somebody today about your book. We've already talked about it in this series, but I came to remind you that there's a book in heaven written about your life. There's a book in heaven written about your life. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has prepared works beforehand that you would walk in them. He has prearranged, he has predestined works for you to walk in, but God is telling you to stay in your lane. And if you will stay in your lane, you can work within your boundary. If you'll stay in your book and stop looking at everybody else's book and stay focused on your lane and stay focused on the chapter you're in and stay focused, stop trying to grab the pen and let the author do his thing, amen. Why don't you just read what God has already said about you and then you begin to walk in it. Come on, I'm trying to tell somebody today, you've got to stay in your lane, stay in your book, stay in your chapter, because God says when you do, I'm going to use you. If you'll stay within your gift, I can use it. Because watch this, I came to tell somebody today, can't nobody do it like you do it. Hey, can't nobody preach like I preach, but I can't preach how other people preach. Come on, people can't sing like you sing, and I can't sing a lick, but I'll make a joyful noise. Come on, can't nobody do what it is that you do. Can't nobody run garage doors like Ricky. Well, his brother, he runs the same thing. They're pretty close. They might be in a tie. Come on, they both go to churches that ain't a tie now, but you know what I'm saying? Can't nobody do the construction like you do the construction. Can't nobody cut hair like Jeff cut hair. Come on. Can't nobody do remodeling like Greg over there. Can't nobody hang them doors like Michael right there. Come on, somebody. What you are called to do, can't nobody do it like you do it. Stop looking at everybody else's lane. Stop looking and coveting what everybody else is doing and stay in your lane and stay in your gifting, and we'll watch heaven invade the earth and invade this region. And we'll lock shields together and we'll watch miracles. Come on, can't nobody do it like you do it. Touch your neighbor and say, you can't do it like I do it. Come on, look over at your other neighbor and tell them, you can't do it like me. Yeah. Yeah. And here's where I'm closing. In him, you move. And you have your being. In him you move and you have your being. The statement is twofold because the Bible says the universe is in the bosom of God. Literally, somehow, space and time are within him. It's inside of him. I want you to picture this. Imagine space and time. This is how big your God is. Imagine space and time being within my body somewhere. This is what makes the omnipresence of God make a whole lot more sense. Because if the universe is within him, it's easy for him to be omnipresent at all places at all times. Amen? But this is also talking about the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that he lives in us after we are born again. Remember, we're talking about staying in our own lanes, and if we do and we follow the rules of the road by walking and driving circumspectly, we can reach our destination. There's a couple of ways to find out what your lane is. There's a couple of ways to find out what your lane is. Number one is those personalities and giftings and characteristics of the 12 tribes of Israel. You've been grafted and chosen into Israel. Those are just human nature characteristics. If you look at all those, you have one or multiple of those. The other is the fivefold ministry. If you want to know why you are here on the face of it, there is two questions that are the most asked questions on the face of the earth. Number one is, why am I here? And number two is, where do I go when I die? If you're in here and you've said yes to Jesus, we know the answer to that. But that other question, even Christians, I find so many Christians are wondering, why am I here? What have you called me to do, God? Who am I called to reach? What is my purpose? What's my purpose within this church community? What is my purpose within Shelbyville or Tullahoma or Moore County or wherever you came from? What is my purpose on the earth? Why am I here? And that answer is wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. So you can understand from the 12 tribes of Israel, you can understand from the fivefold ministry gift, right? If you have one of those assignments, which not everybody is qualified or called to one of the fivefold ministry assignments. Can I help us today? Right? Because the fivefold ministry is there for the equipping of the saints. If everybody was a fivefold ministry leader, who's equipping the saints? Okay, it's a high calling. I'm just going to say that. I know everybody wants to be on a level playing field and doesn't make somebody better than you because they have a fivefold ministry office or title. It means that they have a different calling and assignment than you, because the apostle doesn't have the authority to just go reach your neighbor on the assembly line with you and minister Jesus to them because they don't know them. But you have the authority because you walk beside them day after day. You work beside them day after day. You have the authority and the assignment to reach them. So watch this. 9 gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of help. These all come by the Holy Spirit. Can you give me 2 minutes? So gifts of the Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirit, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are giftings, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 gifts of the Spirit. When you gain one or more of these gifts, it will help you to understand what your purpose is on the face of the earth. When you understand and you have these things, it can help you understand what's tied to your assignment. And I don't necessarily want to focus on those right now. I want to focus on some of these in Romans 12. Can I read this real quick? Romans 12, verse 6. In his grace, translation, by his spirit of grace, God has given us different gifts according to certain things. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. There's an assignment. If you have a gift to serve others, serve them well. There is an assignment of destiny and purpose. Serving is tied to your destiny and your purpose. I'm thinking about Legacy Conference and how our team served so well. I got so many texts and so many phone calls, and our speakers were just so amazed at the hospitality in our team and how we operated with excellence. That is an encouragement. That is something that can be tied to your ministry, tied to your purpose. But we always looking at one of these. We always look into a boardroom or some kind of level of authority that we can exercise over somebody. You do understand that the greatest leaders, they're not there to exercise authority. They're there to serve. The greatest leader and the man who had the most authority on the face of the earth made an incredible statement. I did not come here to be served, but to serve. Fivefold ministry leader, you are not just there to execute judgment and rebuke and exhortate and correct. Yes, that might be a part of it, but that is not all that you are called to do. You're called to serve the people. Serving others. If you're a teacher, teach well. If you have a gift of encouragement, you know that this is a gift from the Holy Ghost. But we want to talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, and I'm all for them. Y'all know me. The gift of the Holy Ghost for encouragement, that gift of encouragement that you feel something in your spirit and the Holy Spirit reveals, you need to pick up the phone and call them. They're about to commit suicide, and you call them with a word of encouragement, and you save them from hell and damnation and craziness and heartache and loss for the family. The gift of encouragement. Well, why don't we preach that? These are tied to your assignment. These are things that are tied to your destiny and your purpose. If it's giving, give generously. You know that this is a gift from the Holy Ghost, that you're a giver. Worship team, y'all go ahead and come on. I'm losing folk. The gift of giving. You want to know why that's a gift of the Holy Ghost? Because it ain't natural for you to give up resources. It is human nature and sinful nature to be selfish. Try to take that toy from your 2-year-old. It will prove to you that the sinful nature is engulfed. They're innocent, but it is ingrained in our DNA to be selfish. If you are a giver and you give generously, that is a gift from the Holy Ghost, and it is tied to your destiny and your purpose. God blesses so many business people, and he blesses so many people who have started businesses literally to fund the kingdom of God. I know of millionaires and billionaires, their assignment is literally to fund the kingdom of God. They do their work because it's what God has blessed them with. It's the knowledge that he's given them. It's the work ethic that he's given them so that they, and they know it too. They know it. That's why they give and they cut the big checks and they fund entire ministries because they know that their purpose is tied to it, that their purpose is not tied to hoarding and storing up in a barn and a savings account, but that it is eternal, that they're willing to sow into something eternal. And that's what we do every week with our tithes and our offering. You're sowing into something that is eternal. Gifts of generosity. A gift of leadership by the Holy Ghost. Gifts. If you're a leader, lead with responsibility and seriously is what the word said. If you're able to show a gift of kindness, do it gladly. Staying in your God-given lane. We're talking property lines. Come on, we're talking boundaries. But if we as the people of God would figure out what our lane is and we stay in our lane and then we lock shields together, we will change the world.